Hey y'all, welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast, where we talk about life in a perspective of these two black gay male 40-somethings and all the drama and trauma, and today, conflama. We're going to be talking about crazy dating experiences, but before we get into that, definitely want to get a word in from my co-host.
Yes, Dark Boy is right here.
Okay, Dark Boy, good to see you. Good to hear you, rather. How was your day?
Well, the usual, crazy, busy, too much drama, you know, at work. I mean, that's where the only drama is now, which is good, but I'd rather have it there than, you know, at home, so.
Telling. As they say, busy work makes for a check, although... whether it's busy or not at work, I think you still get a check.
That's true.
Unless you're self-employed. So
I'm assuming yours was rather busy as well.
Somewhat. Yeah. I mean, this is my Sabbath, as I've liked to adopt it. It's a day of creativity and leisure, so I am trying to make the best of it. But I am quite tired. Just kind of, I slept and I was up and. Yeah, just some heavy yawns when I got home. My bed was calling my name, and I had to rebuke it.
Nobody in your bed was calling your name. Oh, that's the part that's...
No, I wouldn't have rebuked that. I probably would have welcomed that. It could have been a nice little escape from life as I understand it nowadays. But alas, no one wrinkling my sheets but me. But yeah, I'm busy. I'm hoping to not be so busy in the future to where I can't, you know, get into a little trouble. Yeah. Perhaps catch a little cold from some gentleman. Or not quite a gentleman, you know. Hey.
Yeah. But I wasn't trying to be shady when I said no one was in your bed, by the way. I was just, you know.
I didn't take it as shade. I just took it as banter. There was no shade taken or perceived. And so we cool. Cool. I guess it is time for us to move into the blacklist. So take it away. This is the debut of the blacklist.
Yes. So the blacklist is kind of like tribute to our favorite black thing. It's favorite actresses, favorite movies, favorite whatever, anything black. You know.
Porn stars.
Yeah, porn stars, whatever. Mm. And so.
Books, movies, yeah.
Yeah, we decided we would do a list, a 3-2-1 list.
Okay, well, I guess I'll kick it off.
Yeah.
So my number 3 favorite reality starlet, I don't know if you call her a starlet. She's probably a little beyond a starlet age, but she is Mama D of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta fame.
Okay.
Because she deserves a love. And also, anyone that can be on stage singing and their tooth flies out their mouth and they don't make a run for it, I'm all in. Furthermore, one of my favorite lines from her is when she told Scrappy, she walked up to Scrappy like, "Scrappy, you need to get your bitches under control." And I was like, damn, that's his mama talking to him. Like, I just said, this is not the typical mama by any stretch. And apparently she used to be a pimp, so she's a lot.
I can see that.
Yeah, she's, I just remember she had an interview with, I think, Lawrence J, and he was like, "What do you say, you know, to the girls to get them on board and keep them in line?" And she whispered in his ear, and he was like, he said, "Oh." So I don't know. Mama D's pimp game was strong, apparently. So yeah.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. I could see her being the pimp stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you call is all they call a pimp if they're a woman. I don't know.
I believe so. I guess sometimes it's a madam, but I always thought of madam as a little more like off the street and classy, or classier. But I, you know, my pimp vocabulary is a little, it's not what it used
to be. It's a little deficient.
Yeah, it's atrophied a bit. Okay. Yeah, so I just gotta roll with we call her a pimp.
Okay.
I believe that's what she called
Yeah.
herself. Yeah. So who's your number three?
My number three is, now I well, my number three is Candy Burris from
Oh.
Real Housewives of Atlanta. So
Okay.
now I only know of her from The Housewives. Now I know that she was in Escape, but and I knew of Escape when I was younger, but I didn't really necessarily know who the individual members were. You know, I didn't know their names. I
Oh,
didn't keep up
yeah.
with it. I didn't. So I, you know, I didn't know. So yeah. So I know she's done other things, but that's where I know her from. And
Oh, yeah.
I just like her just because, I mean, she's the one that, well, I think of all the people, I have a feeling she cries the most, you know? I mean,
Well,
when,
that's when she gets upset.
yes, when she
Like
gets,
when she gets angry, she cries.
so, and she's always has that shaky voice. I mean, that's not why I like her, but I just think that when you see that, it feels real. Like it's not, that's
Yes.
real emotion that's coming out when she's, you know, when she's upset like that. So, yeah, and you know, I love
Oh,
her
definitely.
daughter, and you know, her mama is
Oh,
something else,
yeah.
but you know,
Oh, Lord, her mama.
yeah, I
Yeah.
can't deal with her.
I forgot all about Mama Joyce.
Yeah.
I don't know if she would have made my list, but she definitely would have been an honorable mention.
Yeah. Well, no, well,
Yeah.
not for me, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, 'cause she's comedy and she's so inappropriate. It's hilarious. And so I just, especially the way she talks, like out the side of her mouth, and it's, oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mama Joyce is, she's a lot. And Po Candy just, she tries to keep her reined in, but she's like, she a grown ass woman.
Well, I
I can't do
didn't.
nothing with her.
Well, I think when Candy was first dating Todd, I don't think
Oh
that
yeah.
she did enough to rein her mother in. Because to me, I'm like, that to and you know, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I'm like, that needed to be under control, and she was not doing enough. I don't think she was, but
Well, yeah, especially when you think about like the way Mama Joyce talked about, I think his mother, like said she was out hoeing and all. I was like, I said, well, even if she was out hoeing, it wasn't your place to talk about that because she's not marrying his mother. It's marrying him. And yeah, Mama Joyce, yeah, Candy definitely needed to rein her in back in the
Yeah.
day.
Now she's okay now. You know, she seems to be, it seems to be all good and, you know, everything's fine. So that's good. But back then I was like, I wasn't really feeling it for Candy when she was doing that. But or was not doing that. But otherwise I just like that she's doing music and you know.
Yeah, she hustles.
Yeah.
I respect that about Candy.
She's doing her plays,
Yeah.
the Broadway plays. Yeah, so
She's hustling.
okay, your number two.
My number two is a bit of a throwback.
Oh.
It is Miss Tiffany New York Pollard.
Okay.
Probably, I don't know if she's the original bad girl of reality TV, but she was certainly one of the first notable ones that is just flavor of love, you know, for the love of New York. I mean, she had, what, 4 seasons? Almost consecutive seasons on TV, acting a fool. It's just, and yeah, I mean, just the whole, and she even had the thing with the, she was supposed to box Mr. Boston, and just it was, oh, she was supposed to box the white girl, I can't think of her name, the one that spit in her face, and she didn't show, oh, Punkin, little Punkin didn't show up for the fight, so she ended up boxing Mr. Boston, and you know, Mr. Boston tried not to whoop her ass, but it was a bit of a mismatch, but he let her get some shots in.
Yeah.
Yeah, New York was just, ooh, she would read the girls. She came back that second season, in you know, as a consultant for Flavor Flav, and he ended up bringing her back into the house, and all hell broke loose. It was a mess. But yeah, she was one that I think at the time I didn't truly appreciate New York. She is great drama. She And apparently she's not as off the chain as she appears on camera. She does have a more quiet and subdued side, but she certainly knows when the lights come on, it's time to make that money. So, I respect
You
that.
gotta have that drama going on.
That's it. Get that wig together, get that weave on, and let's go. Yeah, so who is your number two?
My number two is Rashida Jones from Love and Hip Hop
Uh-oh.
Atlanta.
Oh, Lady Sheeta.
Yes.
Okay.
And just because, and part of it is the way she talks. I don't know what they call those little interview things that they kind of throw in the middle of the of the episode, where it's just
Oh, the confessional.
confessional. Yes, thank you. So to me, her confessionals were always super funny, even though she was talking about kind of rough things when her husband was doing his thing or allegedly doing his thing. It just the way that she would
Hoeing
just
around.
huh
I said hoeing around, yes.
yeah just the way that she would describe certain things, just the way she would talk about it. And she just kind of it was just funny. And I think one of the funniest ones when she was talking about and I do not remember this guy's name, he's because he's not on the show anymore. The guy she well to me, I looked at him and thought, this guy has no neck. He literally had no neck.
Oh, Benzino.
Yes. And there was one where she was upset with him. I don't remember what he did, what he said,
Oh,
but
goodness.
she said something like, "Well, there he is, Benzino, with his no neck ass." And to me, I just lost it when she said that, because I'm like, yeah,
I didn't see that
she's
one.
pointing out what everybody else, like, this man has no neck. She pointed out what it, and I just thought that was just hilarious.
I didn't really start watching Love and Hip Hop Atlanta until I think who was it? Dustin Ross. He kind of finally got me to watch it because he was talking about it on I think on The Read once, where he was saying that Jocelyn Hernandez would be the deaconess of his church, or the head deaconess. And I said, "Who is this woman?" Because I know Dustin is off the
Well,
chain,
she's crazy.
and we met Jocelyn, and I said, "Oh, wow, okay, I can see that, Dustin, because your ass is crazy." Yeah, he's a mess. I love him. But yeah, loving Hip Hop Atlanta. I watched it. And I said, "Oh my, they really have this running on
Yes,
television."
they do.
Okay,
Yes. Yeah,
and yeah, I watched that season. I watched the season where Benzino and Stevie J fell out. And then I kind of fell off the track with it again. I just, 'cause
Yeah. And I don't
it's
even, I
hard.
don't remember he left. I don't remember what the reason was. It was big old drama, so.
Well, yeah, 'cause basically he and Stevie J fell out, and then Jocelyn and Althea, I think, were getting into it. 'Cause remember at the
Yes.
reunion, that's when Jocelyn lost her damn mind, and oh, what was Home Chick's name? The producer.
Bona?
No, this is she was oh, the rapper's mother. She's like a
Oh,
sheriff.
gosh. Oh, I can't remember her name.
Oh, I can't think of her name. Deb Anthony.
Okay.
When Deb Anthony, she was like, "That girl, she lost her mind. Like, you could just see it. I ain't never seen Jocelyn disappear like that." And I said, "Well, she did." And so they weren't back, because I think also Althea was pregnant, and they've since had the baby, and they were on Celebrity Marriage, was it reality marriage boot camp, Reality Stars, a couple of years ago. Still crazy as all hell. Yeah, talk about an unhealthy relationship, but all right, I'm only seeing one side of it. So there may be love there underneath it all, but it seems tainted and toxic, but all right.
All right, you're number two.
Oh no, I did my number two. It was New
Oh,
York.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. Okay, so my number one, I had to, it was like, it wasn't even debatable, but I had to think about, like, is she a reality star? And I said, yeah, she is. My number one is T.S. Madison.
Okay. Yeah.
Maddie, I love her. She is off the fucking chain. The original big dick bitch. She is comedy. her facial expressions when she was doing the Queen's Court with that crazy ass Kaya had me in stitches. And, you know, she does her cooking show. She does the Let Me Give You a Ride show with World of Wonder. And she's just, Maddie is hilarious. She's just, she's outrageous. And I do love that in a woman. So yeah, Maddie is, she's something else.
Too bad they fell out, I guess, you know, her.
Yeah, well, you know, Kaya, I don't know, from what I've seen historically, Kaya is a bit of a rattlesnake.
Okay.
And a scorpion. She just can't help it. It's in her nature. She's her own worst enemy from what I've seen and heard. But yeah, I mean, the show was definitely lightning in a bottle. It's a shame. But I also think that I don't know how long it would have lasted, because eventually some...
Too much drama? Too much internal drama, maybe?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think certainly you could tell Kaya was getting a little worn out, because I think that she wasn't the darling of the show. People, they would tune in to hear her roast and gag, but they were really Maddie's fans. It's not to say that people are like, oh, bump Kaya, but just the energy was very different with Maddie, because she certainly would talk shit about people, but it was in a much more lovable misfit kind of way.
Okay.
And she also, she knew where the line was. And unless you came for Maddie, she didn't come for you in ways that Kaya would come for people.
Yeah. See, I never saw the show. I never got into the show. Ooh. I mean, I you know, when I heard about it, it was already over, so.
I will send you the clip. I will send you a link to the clip where she is going off on, what is that girl's name? Rajanae and Lil Wayne's ex-wife and daughter. Toya and Rajanae, because she took it places it did not need to go. She had her mama's face up another woman's coochies. She had her daddy sucking dicks. Oh. I mean, it was a lot. And I just said, that all may be true. I don't know. But it is not up to you to reveal that to that girl. Even though the girl is grown and she got in grown folks' business. If you're not, you know, if you're going to be a woman like that and step to somebody like Kaya, be ready to step your pussy all the way up, because otherwise she going to stomp on it. And she stomped on it. And I said, ooh. I said, that was a harsh, ugly, ugly read. And so that was kind of the beginning of the end. I mean, that was like the high point for the show, because that took them off of YouTube, per se, in terms of like, wow, because LaToya was responding on Instagram and it was a mess. But see, I didn't pull us all the way off the top. Blacklist. T.S. Madison is my number one reality starlet for the comedy, for her dancing with her titties bouncing all over the place. You know, I love a nice set of titties, so... Mm. That's what I got.
Okay.
Who's your number one?
My number one, I just realized all of mine are from Atlanta, by the way.
So. I was noticing
well,
that pattern.
Well, you're my number one. Number one.
Your number one is probably someone who's fond of a blonde wig that looked really tragic.
Yes. Miss Nene.
That's it.
That is my number one. Yes. Or Nene.
I knew she would be.
Or sometimes people want to call her when she's really, really doing her thing.
Oh, Nene. Yeah.
Even though I don't always agree with her with what she says, but
yeah,
there are just sometimes when, you know, she is just so loud and so just, I mean, she just comes up with these things, and I think I can have a tendency to kind of be not at her level, but if I'm mad enough, I will whatever comes to my mind, I will say it. You know, if I'm mad enough, and I think she does that. And
that's her default setting.
Well, yeah, that's true. To me, one of the best, I mean, fights, I guess is what you would call it, is between her and Claudia. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, that one. I mean, now Claudia was doing good too, because she had stuff to say right back to Nene, But I think, to me, Aniti was just talking about how, you know, Claudia was supposedly sleeping with all these men in Hollywood. And that's when she came with the famous line that she goes like, your clit has left your body, you know. And yes, and I just think,
the door is closed.
Yeah, so she was just,
so I could help.
Yeah. And now I, you know, I used to, I know people, you know, I am not in support of our president, current president at all. But I did used to watch The Apprentice. And Nene was on there. And and I would say the second most popular or read that she gave was to Star Jones. If you Google it, just go on YouTube and look for it. It was just I mean, it was epic. I don't think anybody was prepared. Star certainly was not prepared for that. She was not ready for what Nene had to dish out. And
I'm trying to remember what she said to her. Damn,
it's honestly too much to stay on here. There were two different occasions where Nene and Star got into it, in the same episode, same day or whatever. So it's just
I'll take those in.
Yeah, I mean, I could send you links to those if you want.
Yeah, because also speaking of Claudia Jordan. You know, she in New York had a legendary scrap as well in a restaurant. Yeah, I think New York, it may have been, I won't say it was completely staged, but I think in New York's mind, she was like, oh, I'm about to perform. And she kind of came in and rocked the scene like a hurricane. And I just said, ooh, okay. And Claudia was like, I don't even understand what the hell just happened. She's like, but I was throwing it back at her ass. But she said she really didn't understand what was going on. So, okay, but
So
Miss Nene,
yes,
she is a mess.
She is messy. She can't be. I mean, well, and I would say on the last episode of Housewives, Latin Housewives, they had it was the Halloween party.
Oh,
and okay. I like, see, to me, this is how my mind would work. You know, Nene and Kim had the drama with Kim supposedly saying that Nene's house was full of roaches and all that kind of stuff. And I liked it that at the party, you know, Greg came as a roach and dressed up as a roach.
That's what I
heard. And Nene was the exterminator. I just thought that was such a good way of kind of, because then Kim looked very uncomfortable after that.
Oh yeah.
And to me, I would have done the same thing. I would have done this. I probably would have been the roach though. I probably would have just been the roach just to be even more like, you know, here you are. Here's a roach now for you or something like that.
Yeah, just start flinging roaches all over the place at her. Well, and see, I haven't seen that episode yet, but I'm sure it'll come up on a reunion. I'm sure they'll show a clip.
Yeah.
With Kim's face cracking and just falling to the ground like rose petals. Yeah. You know, in a tornado, it'd be wonderful. Just be wonderful. I can't wait. Especially if it blows Kim's wig back.
Yeah, she just looked very uncomfortable. You know?
Oh.
And okay. I thought,
well, she needs to.
Yeah.
With her histrionics.
Like I said, if I get mad enough, I'll do something like that. So.
Ooh, I don't know if I need to meet your doctor. Goodness.
I used to call myself Firecracker back in the day. So even though I don't sound like it, that was my self-given nickname. Because once you set things on fire, things happen. So.
Okay. Yeah, I just named my dark side the other day. Oh. So. I guess last week I just named him, so he didn't have a name. He was just part of it. So
see, he's been named. Mine doesn't come out anymore, not like it used to. So,
mine doesn't need to, but if you do conjure him, you earned it.
Yeah,
I don't pull him out lightly. It takes a lot to pull him out, but I've had some exes meet him and they didn't like it. Yeah, they didn't like him very much.
All right, I guess that ends the Blacklist segment, right?
Yeah, I do have to mention my honorable mention of Dr. Heavenly. This was the first year I watched of Married to Medicine, and her ass is crazy. I love her. But she didn't quite make the top three.
Yeah, I had not watched that show yet. So.
It's interesting because the women actually have known one another for a long time, unlike Atlanta, where they some of them have just met on the show. These women have been friends for a long time, decades in some cases. So, yeah. But all right, we'll move on to the
Okay.
main
Yes.
topic. All right. So this week, we thought we would talk about crazy dating experiences. And certainly, after you've listened to this show, if you would like to send us one of yours, feel free to do so. You can send it to us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. But I thought, Dark Boy and I would just kind of have a nice flowing conversation about some of our more interesting dating experiences.
Yep.
Yeah, so you want to kick it off, or did you want me
I
to?
say you first. I think you're gonna have more crazy ones
Me
than me.
first? Okay, so I decided once to not judge a book by its cover and went out with a guy that I wasn't necessarily attracted to. Certainly physically, just wasn't attracted to him, but he was witty, and I appreciated that about him. It was good conversation. So I said, well, I don't see my draws coming
For
off.
this one.
Yeah, they wasn't coming off, but it certainly he was a cool guy to talk to, at least over the phone. Now, when we got to dinner, we went to a restaurant that will remain nameless because ain't nobody sponsoring this show. And he ordered soup as an appetizer, I guess. I think it was an appetizer. He ordered soup, that much I remember.
Okay.
And do you know, in the midst of this really interesting conversation, this man must have had at least a third of the bowl of soup on the front of his shirt.
Oh.
I sat there like, did you it got you. Just like the first time I said, "Oh." And he said, "What?" I was like, "Oh, your chowder kind of got you." And he said, "Oh." And he took his spoon
Oh.
and scooped it up off the
And ate
shirt.
it.
And I yeah, and ate
Oh.
it. And I, I said, "Sir, you are on a date. Can you at least make it look like you trying to impress a brother? Like, can you give it a halfway decent effort?" And I swear there were at least four or five more spoonfuls of soup that ended up on the front of this man's
Oh my
shirt.
goodness.
And then after all that happened, like when the entree comes out, he decides to put a damn napkin on as a bib. And
After
I
that.
just, I looked at him and said, "It's a bit late for that." I didn't say that because that would just really be gauche, but I was thinking, "It's a bit late for that." Then he trying to press up on me after today trying to get a kiss. I was like, "Motherfucker, if you don't back up off me, smelling like some fucking clam chowder."
Ugh.
Ooh, yeah, it was just
I
awful. I
thought you were
said,
gonna say
"Oh."
that half the clam chowder was stuck in his mustache or beard. That's what I thought you were gonna say.
Oh no, he was clean shaven, which was certainly a mark against him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was a mark against him. Again, great conversation, but it was very distracting with all this damn soup running down the front of his shirt. Because after a certain point, I just stopped telling him. I said, "If you can't feel that, then we don't have anything to talk about." It just, I think what made it crazy was the fact that he had to feel this stuff on his chest, and he didn't flinch.
Wow.
And at the end of it, like in between courses, he basically kind of took the spoon and swooped up about four of the dollops that were on his shirt. And I sat there and I just remember thinking, "Are you fucking serious? Who does
Wow.
this? My nephew's not even this fucking sloppy."
How old was this man?
This man was like in his, I would say he was in his mid to late 40s at the
And
time.
you were.
I would say early 30s.
Not that it really makes a difference, but I was
Yes.
just trying to.
Yeah, I mean, this was not like a 19-year-old who was eating like he was baling hay. I had one date that he literally was trying to give me high class, I'm all that, but his ass was literally shoveling food into his mouth like he was baling fucking hay.
Ugh.
And I just sat there and I said, okay, clearly I am a table manners stickler because this is some bullshit. But it was so appalling that I think anyone would have been, because it was like, you know how you hold the spoon or a fork and I guess it's supposed to kind of rest in the palm of your hand and you're supposed to lift and scoop with it. This fool was holding it in his fist with the palm down.
Like a little child. And he, like a kid would hold it, yes.
And he would basically put it in the soup and he would almost catapult the shit into his mouth. So this one did have food on the corner of his mouth, in his beard. I said, oh.
Oh,
my stomach is turning at the memories. Oh, gosh. It was a lot. It was off the chain. I just could not understand. But that is what, that's two of my dating experiences with just bad table manners.
Yeah, so I haven't had that experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What you got? We'll bounce back and forth.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of what I would call the craziest, but probably the time when I went to West Hollywood with a guy that lives near me, and we went up to West Hollywood, and I guess he was attracted to me, although it just went over my head. So, I mean, I went to West Hollywood, and I was trying to do it. I was doing stuff with other guys, you know. I was I was kissing.
Shame.
Yes, I was kissing these other guys. I was doing all this other stuff. We had gone to.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, okay. We had gone to a bar, like one of the bars with the strippers, and I was grabbing their dicks and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, Lord. And okay.
I think the guy was a little upset with me, but again, I had no clue. Like, I was like, oh, I guess it was a date, but it really wasn't a date. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, well, if he didn't specify from the beginning, like if he was trying to be slick and like just kind of goose you into a date, that was on him.
Yeah, I think that may be what it was. Yeah, so I had a great time. I don't think he did, but I had a great time.
Damn. I can't see you grabbing stripper dicks.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, no, because some of these guys, they were packing. And I'm like, no, I got to.
Oh, well, of course.
And I mean, I was reaching from behind. I was kind of.
Oh, you were buck wild.
Oh, yeah. No, I reached in their stuff and grabbed it. I mean, I didn't, you know.
It's weird. I'm always kind of a little too respectful of strippers.
Well, these guys. But these guys were. Well, so I normally would not have done that, you know, because I'm very reserved and all the kind of stuff. But I saw other people doing it. So I'm like, well, why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I join in on the fun? So, so I did.
Oh, wow. Because I have been abused by strippers, certainly. I know I told you about when I went to D.C. for Black Pride many years ago. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Armani beat me upside the head with the dick. It was just terrible. I felt so victimized, but it was so nice. Although my friends were sitting there looking at me like, this bitch. They were like, how much you tip him? I was like, shut up. I was like, he got my last 40. Somebody buy me a drink. I was like, because I can't get an ATM my service charge money. I can't do it. But yeah, he was. And it was so funny because he was trying to press up on me, and I did not take him seriously because I'm just like, dude, you're a stripper. You're in this club. Could pretty much have your pick of any of these guys. I'm not sure why you're talking to me. And it was just strange because he was like, I'm sorry about that. I'll make it up to you later. I said, okay. I'm serious. I said, okay. All right. I do believe I gave him my card, but you know, if he was going to make it up to me, who am I to say no?
Exactly.
Yeah, but it would have been a job. You know, he was the cover model in an issue of Black Inches magazine.
Oh, well, yeah, how do you turn that down? Especially if you get slapped with dick. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, just for the adventure of scaling Mount Everest and all. But it didn't pan out. But I mean, plus the hell, he probably forgot about me 2 minutes after. But he was like, "Let me get your number." I said, "What you need my number for?" So if he waited too long, that number got changed. But that was, you know, a good 15 years later. But hey, never heard from the guy. But I appreciated the little mini bondage session at the bar. It was wonderful. And it certainly wasn't the first time I've been hitting the forehead by a dick. So,
okay. Man,
what can you do?
Not a bad thing.
Yeah, because even what I consider, yeah, this other incident, I don't know if I call that a date. That was just hanging out. I guess it was a date.
Yeah, why not?
I had a dinner date.
Yeah,
it was a dinner date. And then it was, I met this guy, I think online. And I mean, this is, gosh, a good, this was shortly after I came back. I think I was still a public servant at the time. And so I met him for dinner after work one day, because we met up in Silver Lake and we went to the Flying Leap Cafe up there. And then he was like, "Oh, well, let's go get a drink." And I said, "There's a bar like right here." And so we ended up going to Cuffs. You remember Cuffs?
Yeah.
I'm sure you remember Cuffs. And I, you know, it was so interesting because he was, you know, trying to lay his little Mac down. I said, "Okay." It's like, I'll cooperate. We'll see what you're trying to do here. But this fool, as soon as we got up in Cuffs, it's like I disappeared because he had his tongue down every throat. he jacked a couple of guys off because, you know, Cuffs was just notorious. And I said to him, I said, "They don't serve alcohol here. What kind of place to get a drink is this?" And I don't know if he was trying to get me riled up for a three-way. I don't know what his goal was. But I swear that man must have played with at least 10 other men while we were there.
Okay.
And I said, "Well, damn." And then he gonna try to roll up on me and try to put his hands in my, I was like, "Get your hands out my damn face." Like, I when someone kind of goes to touch your face, you kind of be like, "Ooh," and you kind of recoil a bit.
Yeah.
And he tried to come out, I was like, "Ooh," and I finally was like, "Get your hands on my fucking face." I mean, I was like, "I'm smelling ass on your fingers.
Oh,
I'm smelling balls.
God.
I'm smelling it." And I'm just sitting here like, he's like, "Well, you know, how about a kiss?" I'm like, "No."
You probably would have tasted ass if you kissed him. So.
Thank you. Because I know he was tossing salad. And the bartender told me he was sucking about three dicks that he saw. And I went up to the bartender like, "Hey, y'all got any cocktails up in here?" And he's like, "No." Nah. I said, "Damn." He's like, "Man," he's like, "We're beer. It's a beer spot." I said, "Yeah, I guess." But beer and cigarettes. My God, that place was horrible with cigarettes. But and it was so weird because I this fool went through all that. And I basically got in my car and left. And was that the night I got accosted by the black leather daddy out front, though?
Accosted?
Well, you know, I had... He was... he had a very bright smile. And a very lovely mustache. He was definitely a throwback kind of brother. And he kind of, I was standing outside waiting on my eyes to kind of reset because I was tearing up from all the cigarette smoke because that place was just an ashtray. And so I was kind of standing out front and he walked up and he's like, "You going in, boy?" And I said, "Oh." I said, "No, sir, I'm actually leaving." He said, "Why so soon?" I said, "Because my date ain't worth a damn." And he said, "Tell daddy what he did."
"Don't tell daddy."
I said, "Did you want me to tell daddy or did you want me to show daddy?" And he looked at me and he said, "Oh, a playful boy." I said, "Mm-hmm." And so, because my mama might listen to the show at some point, I'll stop the story there. But yeah, I showed daddy things and he showed me things. It's like, so actually, that was quite a crazy date now I think about it. I went in there with one piece and left with another. Mm-hmm. That was my first time in a dungeon, too.
Yes.
I'm I sure. kept it clean and respectable, but he had a playroom, and I said, "Oh Lord!" I told him, I said, "This is I've studied all this, but I've never done it." He said, "Well, allow me to introduce you too." I said, "Well, look now, I don't know you like that. So you're not tying me up. You leave them cuffs on the wall. Don't you even touch that whip, or we gonna we gonna roll around on the floor." And he said, "Oh, okay, he's like, "You a little vanilla, ain't you?" I said, I am down with the swirl. I will give you vanilla, but if you push the right buttons, it can get dark." It's like, it can get quite dark. And so it was fun. I can't remember what time I got home that night, but it was late. At least 4 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, it was a wild little scene.
Yeah.
But I had fun. Sweet guy. Definitely had a dark side. Ooh,
One thing that I just remembered. Fun. So when I was on the other date, I was just telling you about, in the same bar with the stripper, there was a guy. He just was another person in the bar. He didn't work there or anything like that. He wasn't a stripper. And I was walking around, you know, this guy would walk up to me and he would reach his hand into my underwear.
Oh, damn. Oh, he was bold.
He had like precision aim. Oh. Because it wasn't like, you know, I don't think I was wearing a belt. So, I mean, it wasn't like there was anything really holding him back. But he would walk by and it would be straight in.
Yeah.
And he would grab a hold of my junk. And he did it every time we walked by.
Oh.
And I was just like, yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was nice. He was a good-looking guy. I mean, I wasn't necessarily trying to do anything with him. But it was just like, how are you able to do this every single time?
Folks got skills.
Yeah, he obviously, I was not the first one he had done that to, because he was just too good at it. I mean, that stuff was not baggy.
Oh, no.
But I mean, he just, you know, straight in, didn't have any trouble. Nothing, like it wasn't wearing anything.
Yeah, that happened to me once with this Native American gentleman. Was a First Nations member. He rolled up on me and basically stuck his hand down the back of my drawers, ran his finger through my crack, pulled it back out, and sniffed it and said, fresh. And I said, first of all, I was initially just like, damn, you just straight up assaulted me. Like, because he even tickled my hole on the way back out. And I said, oh my goodness. And then I kind of had to get past my quote unquote outrage and just be like, you know what? I respect a hoe with good skills. Well done, sir.
Did you end up secretly liking?
No, totally not my type at all. But hilarious, you know. You give me some good comedy, we could hang. But yeah, I just said that was a practice move, and a very risky one, because you know not everybody washes their ass. So,
true.
But that wasn't a date. That was just one night out. That also happened. Quite that way at the when I was at the Eagle in DC. I've been there about 2 or 3 times, and you know, there was like the second floor, it was just Grope City trying to get through there. I just said, well, this is a lot. And that actually was on a date. Like, yeah, that was a date. I was still in school. I actually drove to DC, met one of my online buddies that I had been talking to for about 2 years at that point. And we went out and had dinner and then had drinks and smooched a little. And then we went to the Eagle. And certainly, I don't know what the goal was for that night, but it was certainly crazy, because when you were walking through that area, I remember it was just like, it was a relatively darkish room. You know, there was some light from some neon things behind the bar, and there were a couple of things on the walls with relatively low light, orange, yellowish lighting, if I remember correctly. I know they had the Iron Cross or the Saint Christopher's Cross in the on the patio and all that. And I remember telling him he was not gonna get me up on that. And then I went across to use the bathroom, I think, and got just groped to death on the way to the bathroom. I was appalled, but it was so thorough that, I just had a raging heart on by the time I got to the bathroom because it was just so thorough. And it was just, I mean, I had balls fondled. I had a couple of folks jacking me off. I said, "Oh my."
Okay.
It was a lot. I just said, "My God, this is ugh." And then coming back to get back to him, because I was kind of motioning to him like, "You need to come on. I'm not going back through this." And he wouldn't get up, sitting there laughing at me. I was like, "This motherfucker." And so I went back through, and some leather daddy who was at least 6'4" or 6'5" just kind of decided he was going to snatch me and just kind of have me all hemmed up against the pool table. And I said, "Really?" I said, "Hey."
Yeah, don't turn
Yeah, I
that
said, "Well, since you got me here and seated and all, I'll at least play with your chest hair for a bit." And then I had to go. I just said, "It's so hard to go out. It's so hard to date. You can't. It's ooh, in certain venues, you can't date one person at a time. It's just."
Yeah, I don't think that place is just to be made for one-on-one dating.
No. And I mean, I guess for me, it's always interesting because I would say at least a third of the dates that I've been on have been folks have tried to represent it as an actual date, and it was really a prelude to a hookup that they were hoping
Okay.
to pull off. And because I find it weird for you to actually. I could see if we're a couple and we're well established, and then you want to go to a place like Cuffs or an after hours spot and act a fool. Okay, fine. I could see that, but you don't know me like that. We're not. I don't know you like that. Such that if you're my man and I see you playing around with everybody in the joint, we either have an understanding that that is just what you're allowed to do. Or I'm hoeing too, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
And in that case, the rule is don't bring nothing home without consensus, and certainly don't bring anything microbial home. Period.
Yeah, definitely don't want
Yeah,
that.
because that will get your feelings hurt in my book. And your feelings would be the least of your concerns. But yeah, I had a number of experiences where it would be a first date or a second date, and we'd do dinner, we'd do a movie, whatever it may be, all those, traditional things. And then it would be this, "Oh, let's go to this bar." Like, I even had one guy that tried to take me to a bathhouse after dinner, and I said, "No, I'm gonna get in my car and go home now."
Did he stay behind and go to the
A
bathhouse? Okay,
according to
well.
him, yeah. He said he had a good time. I said, "Well, I'm happy for you."
Yeah.
But you wasn't dragging me up in that piece. That was not what I had in mind for my Saturday evening. Yeah, so it's ooh. Yeah. This is like a
Yeah.
continuation of just like my dating woes in general from an earlier episode.
Yeah.
Now you know why I've not been eager to put myself out there, because it's just always some shenanigans and fuckery that emerges. Folks can't eat. Ugh, yeah, but.
Yeah, I had one that was a date. It was supposed to, it was a date, but it didn't end up happening because. So this was back in the day before any hookup apps. Email was nothing. I mean, there was no emailing pictures. There was none of that.
Oh, yeah.
So you had to rely on people describing themselves. You had to rely.
The Dark
That was
Ages,
it.
yes.
Yeah, it sounds like it now when you think about it. And so this one guy, we decided to meet at this one restaurant, he described himself as being like over 6 feet. He was in great shape and all this kind of stuff. I thought, oh, well, perfect. Hey, you know, that's, you know, tall and good looking and all that kind of stuff. Well, he didn't say good looking, but, you know, I just kind of assumed if you're in good shape and you're tall and, mm-hmm. you know, you're, you know, in your mid 40s or whatever, that you are somewhat, you know, you're going to have someone put together. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what, so he told me what he was going to be wearing. So that's how I know it was him.
Oh, okay.
So when I saw, not only was this guy was not even, I would say he's probably like 5'8 at the most, not 6 foot. And he was way heavier than he said he was.
Lies and fantasies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the thing, honestly, you know, the thing that turned me off the most was that, you know, he had his pants pulled up so
high. Did he have?
You could see his socks. And I thought, oh my God, this is embarrassing. How, you know.
Well, so did he also have like the testicular shift going on where you could see like one ball?
Well, you know what? I didn't see it because he had a stomach that was, you know, kind of in the way, I was not prepared for.
Oh, well, see, that's when you especially see the testicular shift thing. Like,
well, I didn't see it.
I'm just like, pull those down. That don't hurt.
Yeah. Oof. So I saw him walking around, and I was in a place where he could not see me, but I could see him. And after a while, watching him struggle to find me, I thought, you know what? Let me just leave. So I just got it left.
Oh, that's
never so saw him. You know, I know that's kind of me, but I just feel like you were not anything what you described. You know,
be like, I saw your ass.
So, I saw you, but you didn't see me.
And your ankles.
Yeah, that was the part that was so weird. Like, it's just weird. It's like, you know, when you have these guys that have their pants pulled up so high, mm-hmm. that was him. How was this, you know, how was that? You're on a date. How is that the best way to dress?
I've done something like that, like when I'm around the house acting a fool. I don't go outside looking like that.
Yeah, he went outside looking like that.
The tragedy. Okay.
And then, there was one other guy also before the hookup thing. And but this one was more of like of a hookup, not necessarily a date. Mm-hmm. And so I went over to his place. I don't even remember where he lived. And I drove over there. Mm-hmm. There were other people in his house, and he made up some story about, oh, this is my study buddy or something like that. I don't know. That's what he told them.
Wow.
And so in the bedroom doing our thing, uh-huh. and now I was doing him.
Okay.
And then at one point he says, oh, well, do you want me to do you? And my first thought, I mean, so first, his dick was very small.
Oh, okay. Is this the three?
Yeah, it was very.
Okay, Mr. Three, yes.
It was not even three. Honestly, to me.
It was a true micro.
I mean, the poor thing. And my first thing was like, with what? What are you going to do me with?
Yeah.
That's where, I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. But I thought that because I'm like, this man didn't have nothing more than a thimble. I'm like, what are you going to do with that?
Oh, well, at least he offered.
He offered, but what was he going to do? That's, I mean, that I do not have big cakes, as people say. I don't. Yes. But it still wouldn't have made an impact.
You know what I mean? So, that's a shame. Oh, it's so sad.
So, I did not take him up on his offer.
Ooh. Goodness, yeah.
And I mean, couldn't tell why, but I'm like, you know, you didn't have anything. You didn't have anything to do it with.
Okay, so I have two different dates, two different guys that both were just over the top. They were both race men, shall we say. One of them was white, and he was just so down with the struggle that he was finding bias and prejudices when I didn't see them. Like, he chastised the server because she asked him what he wanted to eat before me. And when the woman kind of pushed back, He actually cursed her out at the middle. In the middle, I said, "Oh, I gotta go." I mean, he just, it was. I said, "Ooh, this, mm-mm." It, the thing that, because he actually was like, "Well, you should feel grateful that I was sticking up for you." And I said, "I didn't ask you to do all that. Second, you foul. You talk to that young lady like she had 14 tails coming out her ass, and you were just the epitome of white male privilege, and I can't deal." And I got up and walked out.
Oh.
Yeah, it's one of the few dates I've had to actually get up and walk out of. On the flip side, I went out with what I'll call Brother Africa. He was so back to the motherland with his that he literally broke out with some sage at the table, dark boy, at
Table.
the table. He broke out with some sage to smudge the restaurant,
Oh my gosh.
to chase out all the spirits of previous un
All the evil spirits.
yes. And I said, "Wait, what?" I said, "Huh? I've heard of this, but I mean,
But in a restaurant?
yeah. I mean, I knew one.
On a date?
Yeah. I mean, I knew one guy that actually."
Can't wait to hear this
Oh
one.
my gosh. Oh, okay. I don't know if I should tell.
Well, you can't have all that
I
not tell
know. I'm
now.
just like, I've dug the hole deep. Okay, I'm just gonna spill it. Again, no names. And I'm changing a few details so folks cannot get wind. There was a hotel sex party that someone I knew sponsored, and a particular gentleman rolled up into said sex party wearing a teddy.
A
A
teddy.
teddy, yes. Now
Okay.
this is like kind of a Latino muscle boy kind of gotta be in either slender or in pretty, built. That was the basic code. That was the dress code, so to speak. This is the look you had to have, or you weren't getting in the door. So of course he was slender. He came in, took his shit off at the clothes check. Had a teddy on underneath his clothes with a black leather garter around one of his thighs. And I said, "Wait, like, I'm s because to me, is the contrast in just what the you that is not that is just wrong. You do not go to that kind of affair rocking a teddy. That's
But there was probably someone secretly that liked
maybe,
that.
but it remained a secret because it was mostly a younger, under 30 crowd.
Yeah,
So,
nobody was going to come out and roll up to him,
yeah,
so I guess.
I mean, it's so, and keep in mind, I'm getting this story relayed to me over dinner at the Cheesecake Factory in Marina Del Rey. And you know how busy that place can be. And I am cackling so loud that people are just looking over at me like I shut down the dining room because I know this guy, and I could see his face when he took his shit off and when somebody says something to him, and I just said, "Oh, he didn't." I said, "Please tell me he didn't." They like, "Yes, he did." This fool was another sage devotee, which is why it
Oh
even
my
came
gosh.
up. This fool, they had a whole. These guys said this thing. It was like at a warehouse. I thought it was a hotel, but I don't think it was because they said that he basically was chasing all the other guys in mass around the place.
With the sage?
With the sage, but also just like pressing up on guys in his teddy, bending over, shaking his ass, got his balls falling out the it. Oh, God. It was, I just said, wait, so he ain't even wear like a G-string or nothing under there? And he said, no. How nasty that looked, balls falling out of teddy. I said,
I'm telling you, some people don't like that.
I'm sure somebody there appreciated it, but they certainly didn't say a word that night.
Yeah, because they were going to be too embarrassed. They were probably embarrassed too.
Yeah, they're going to get thrown off the list. And I mean, knowing what I know about this person, I could totally see them doing it. And it just, every time I think of them, I just start laughing uncontrollably. So, I mean, that wasn't quite a date, but I'm sure listeners would appreciate the outrageousness of that story. So now you know why I was laughing before I could even talk. But, like, it's hard for you to shut down a sex party. It is really hard to do because folks are there to fuck. This fool shut down a sex party where people pay $20-$25 a head to get up into peace. Ooh. They put on their shit, they left. I just said, wait, they paid that much and they still left? I said, damn, why didn't y'all put him out?
Yeah, why put up with him?
Because he made such a scene. And I think before they really understood everything that he was up to, folks were like, they were filing out of there. By the time they were really aware, half the crowd was gone. And it was a mess. I mean, you had guys that were basically, they didn't even put their shit back on. They didn't put their clothes back on. My friend told me there were guys just walking out the front door wearing like flip flops and a jock strap. I said, wait, what? I said, it was cold that time of year. It was maybe February. So it was, you know, you can get a little nippy.
Yeah,
it was in LA. Yeah. You know, and they went outside in jock straps and flip flops and socks. And like one dude just ran out of there butt naked with his clothes in his bag, like clutched to his chest. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, because
this was some too bad there wasn't video of this.
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, had it been like one of the Throb LA parties, there probably would have been video, because I think there was, they would film those sometimes when if I remember correctly, because I saw a couple of the videos in stores or like the organizers were selling them or something like that at one of the adult webmaster events that I went to way back when. This fool was in there in his teddy. Somehow, I think he had like fishnet stockings stashed somewhere in the teddy, because my friend said when he finally caught up to his nutty ass, he had on the fishnet stockings. And he...
Oh my gosh.
And he... This is so awful, y'all. I'm so sorry. I can't stop laughing. This fool.
I don't think there'll be a story that's going to top this.
It's just, oh my gosh.
Unless the listeners have their own story, then.
Maybe one of the listeners will recognize his foolishness and give a firsthand account. But.
Yeah. See, my stories are extremely tame compared to this. But.
But see, my buddy, like, when he finally tracked this fool down in the party, He said this fool was sitting up on like a box. You know how they have those boxes that go-go dancers can be on and dance and, you know, and do their thing? He was sitting on one of the boxes, and he had his little legs kicked up with his little his fishnets on. And he's just like whirling his legs around. It's just like, his junk is falling out the teddy. And just in the teddy, out the teddy, out the other side of the teddy. I was laughing so hard at Cheesecake Factory. Like, oh my gosh, it was awful. I was in pain. was
from laughing.
Yes, I was in pain. I almost threw up because it was just so absurd. You sit there like, wait, all this what? I mean, that was just like, oh no, I'm not gonna tell that because that's not my business to tell. But yeah, oh gosh, it was just outrageous. You know, you just go into a situation and you're expecting a relatively normal night, and yeah, it just goes left, and it just keeps going left and speeds up. That is what that foolishness was. So I'm sure it was a date night for somebody. It wasn't my date. I wasn't even there.
Yeah.
But the story was legendary. Unfortunately, that brother is no longer with us, you know. Yeah, he passed away. But yeah, I just, yeah. Oh, and also let us not forget that his inner thighs were greased up with Vaseline. I don't know why. I don't know why they were. But okay, this podcast has totally gone left.
Yes.
I think we jumped the shark.
That was for easy.
Oh my God.
Access. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what he's trying.
I mean, what? You just kind of run your fingers through there and get some lube? Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I know some hoes that have worked that move. Not with Vaseline, but, you know, it's. Oh gosh. Yeah. Ooh. It's just, oh my gosh, I'm trying to keep it under control because I'm just, I'm mortified, I'm tickled,
No, don't be mortified. No, I wish I had a story like that.
No, I'm mortified by the story itself and like thoroughly tickled at the same time. And the fact that I'm doing all this on the podcast is just a lot. So I can't say that all this is going to see the light of day, but okay, I do believe it's your turn.
You know, that's it for me.
That's it for you.
Your story, that was the...
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I don't think anything's going to top that one.
Okay, well, I could talk about the toe freak. Yeah, I went out with this one guy. Really cool guy, you know, executive, clean-cut brother. But he had a freaky side. And I respect that. If I'm with you, you can give me respectability in the streets, but I need to know your freak. So, this fool, we go to dinner, having a nice evening. He starts playing footsie with me under the table. And I said, okay, this is interesting. I hadn't played footsie before. So I was going with it because it was just one of those life experiences. Footsie progressed. This man actually took my foot, put it in his lap, proceeded to take off my sock, and was basically giving me a toe job. Yeah. Because he was actually massaging my toes. As he massaged them, I could feel his nature rising. And I said, okay. And at a certain point in the dinner, I looked across the table and said, so were you interested in the rest of me at all or just my toes? And he said, I'd be all right with just the toes, but what else you got in mind?
Oh, my
God. I said, oh, damn. I don't know anything about foot play. I don't know. So that didn't go any further.
Was that the end of the day?
No, we finished the day. I got my toe job. It was interesting. My feet are not in erogenous zone. I have ticklish.
Yeah, so
feet.
You didn't get anything out of that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I appreciated his skill. He clearly knew how to work a toe. But it didn't do anything in particular for me. I mean, I know some guys that can orgasm from you just playing with their toes, or nipples, and you know that type of thing. Or like one guy, he would actually. I forgot what he used to call it, but he basically would get off on, you know, they do like the, I call it a titty bang, where you basically kind of grease up between a woman's breasts and then you just kind of frottage with that. He would actually do that with his feet, and he got off on that.
Oh. Okay, I think I've seen videos like that.
Yeah, I can't think of what the name of it is, though. But, like, he got off on that. And, I mean, some of these people were just folks. Like, some of these folks I've met at parties. Some of them I've actually talked to online. And, you know, they were a complete stranger. And we kind of built a rapport over X number of months. Some of them I just met randomly out and about. Because apparently I have these strange looks on my face that capture the attention of male passerbys. And so it's a lot. I'm trying to think of who else jumps out. Although I think I've shared enough for one night. I've shared enough. Let me continue. Let's just end it there. I think.
Yes, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, the first installment of Crazy Dating Experiences. I hope y'all have.
I have to think of other ones. I know I have other, but I just have to dig deep. Yeah, I just have to dig deep to think about them.
Yeah, because I mean, you also had the guy that was trying to get into some race play and felt the need to call me the N-word. Over dinner, trying to, you know, set a tone. And I said, wait, what? I said, oh, I didn't know ass whooping was on the menu tonight. And he stopped that. He quickly stopped that. And I said, so what was that about? And I already knew. I was wondering if he was going to tell me. And I said, yeah, I'm not playing slave and slave master with you this evening.
Yeah.
Never said I was into that. Never agreed to it. And say that shit again, I'm kicking all that ass. But okay, moving on.
Yes.
I guess I've had a far more interesting life than I realize.
Yes. Yeah,
there's some foolishness in the catalog of my memory. We'll have to do this one again. I'm sure there are more instances coming up from my memory where I'm just like, oh, yeah, that night that, and that happened, and yeah, But not today. So... I guess we're now moving on to Ask Your Brista.
Yeah.
These are the letters that the women send to us because they have questions, maybe about what it's like to be a gay guy, or they just want a gay man's perspective on something going on in their lives, or in some cases, they want sex advice. And so this one actually tonight is of more professional nature.
Okay.
She gave herself the name Wanda at the end.
Okay.
So we gonna call it Worried Wanda. She says, hey guys, I got this white bitch at my job that I need help dealing with. Just came out strong.
Yeah.
The tramp is always on my nerves, but her recent stunt almost got her beat. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She said, this tramp is always on my nerves, but her most recent stunt got her ass beat in my head. I had to work with her trifling ass. Yeah, in her head. She didn't jump her. She said, I had to work with her trifling ass on a project. I feel like there's a lot of screaming and there's some fire coming out her face with these words.
Yeah.
She said, had to work with her trifling ass on a project. The whole time, she's barely carrying her weight and hating on every idea I come up with. Of course, when we have to present to the boss and the rest of the white folks, she's all like, well, yes, we really thought this added value to the company. And acting
like that she was against
us. Yes. and then she's like acting like she was the originator of everything. I was like, quote, bitch, please, unquote. How can I deal with her when how can I deal with her when everything I want to say to her starts with bitch or look here trick or oh no ho what you won't do. That's one of my lines.
Yeah, when you start with what you won't do.
Yeah. I mean, but she actually added on a prefix, oh no ho, what you won't do. Wonderful use of ellipses, I might add, Wanda. And she said, I need some advice so I don't cut this hoe. Wanda brought it. Wanda, I feel your pain. I feel your pain.
I don't.
But we gonna let Dark Boy share his wisdom.
I don't know if I have. I mean, Well, my wisdom is, I mean, you can't do anything that's going to get you fired.
Exactly. Protect your check.
You just can't. Yes, guard the check. You can't. Because then, really, honestly, this other one's going to is would be the winner, basically. Mm-hmm. If you lose your job and she's still there, because that's probably what's going to end up happening.
Mm-hmm. And she also now has an idea of what the boss is like, so she can possibly continue even despite her broken down legacy.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what else. I mean, this is going to be hard. I mean, hopefully you don't have to work on too many more projects with her. Mm-hmm. The only other thing I could think of that you could do is, you know, when the project is assigned to you,
mm-hmm.
Start your ideas flowing before you even meet with this one, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. That way people see that you're coming up with the ideas up front, and maybe this thing is going to have to fall in line with especially if they like what you're, mm-hmm. you know, what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, since it's a work environment, you're limited in what you could do and what you could say.
Yeah, you can't act up too badly.
Right. Because if you act up, again, you're going to lose your job and she's going to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the imperative is definitely guard your coin.
Yeah.
That's, to me, it seems like a classic case. Well, I guess the first thing you got to do, Wanda, is not let her see that she's getting to you. Because I don't know if this is just if she's an airhead or she's devious. You don't really say. Where she knows, like, especially if you guys are lateral colleagues and she recognizes that you are far more gifted, far more capable than she is. She might be trying to discredit you in the eyes of the bosses so she can get the promotion.
Yeah, I don't think she's an airhead. I think she's devious.
I would venture to guess that, you know, because her whole thing of, oh, yes, especially when you talk about adding value to the company, that's not an airhead statement.
All of a sudden. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's...
That's too advanced to be an airhead.
Exactly. I mean, adding value is out there in the business sphere now, but... Yeah, I think she's playing games, Wanda. So what you probably want to do, if you can find some ways to get around her and her shenanigans, that would serve you well. Certainly, what I would do is it's all about the culture of the organization that you're in, but if you're able to have a conversation with a boss, someone above you in the food chain, so to speak, to just bounce some ideas off of them. And they'll even know what you're trying to do, but you can basically say, you know, I had some ideas and I wanted to just make sure they weren't straying too far from our corporate image or from from our branding or from the message that we've established with this client.
The goals of the company or whatever.
Exactly. And at that point, you lay out some of your ideas. Don't give it all away because, you know, the snakes are also above you in the food chain.
They will.
You know, smiling faces sometimes. So I would actually bounce a few concepts, high-level concepts, off of them without giving them a lot of specifics. And just kind of see what they say. But more than anything, you're not so concerned about what they say as much as the fact that they now heard it from you. Because you can, and they can always say, well, have you talked to the team about it or the folks you're supposed to be working on it with? And at which point you can say, well, no, I didn't want to bring it up with them yet because I didn't want there to be energy around this. And it's really completely out of line with what we do. So there are ways for you to work that.
Yeah. And you might even put it in an email at some mm-hmm. point, too. That way there's documentation that it, and it's coming from you.
Yes. Because, Wanda, you are keeping copies of all your email, right? we know you're doing that. Gotta be doing that. Because it sounds, well, I mean, obviously it sounds like Wanda is a black woman. So she knows what it is. So you always, you know, you always protect your kitty. And don't let folks steal your thunder. But yeah, I would say, you know, find some ways to get your ideas out there without her being able to take credit for them. And
You've got to get it out there first.
yeah, just totally jump ahead of her in the food chain, in the chow line, so to speak. But also keep your cool. And you know, like if she had pulled that mess in the meeting, like, well, if she had pulled it on me,
She
rather,
did.
because she did pull it. Had she pulled it on me, I would have been like, "Oh, now see, that is so fascinating. If y'all could know the battles that I went through with her to get her on board with this concept." You know, I would find a way to be like, it's like, I said, I was like, remember I said they would have this reaction, and you were like, oh no, this isn't the company line. I would just embarrass the fuck out of her. There are ways to do it in a very classy way where you can, because you can actually, like, I wouldn't have even said anything. I would have just been smiling and grinning and almost laughing. Because someone's gonna ask you, what is so funny? And you would say, well, I don't. And they'd be like, what? What? That's just human curiosity. I'd be like, well, you know, when I first brought this idea up to her, she didn't get it.
She was
She
on board.
wasn't on board. She really, you know, she wasn't supporting it. And so I'm happy. I'm grateful that I was able to kind of push this over the finish line of. And then if they ask any more questions, it can also be slipped out that she really didn't have anything to offer other than no and ooh, I don't like that. There are ways to deal with a treacherous hoe. And that's just one of many.
That, yeah.
Yeah. But it's also I think for me a lot of it, if I do something like that, it's all about body language and reading the room. If I know I'm in that position where I can actually pull that off, I might go for it. I might. Why not? Hey, they're trying to take money off my plate. Don't get cut. Like she said, I don't want to cut this hoe. But yeah, I don't know if we. I feel like my advice may have meandered a bit for Wanda, but Wanda, I would just say keep your cool, recognize the value that you add to the company, and you can always let her kind of steal the spotlight, but then go right behind her and snatch it back because it's not her idea. She doesn't have the depth of thought around it that you do. She's not going to know the real inspiration for it. There's information that you possess that she does not. And if you've already gotten the go ahead in a meeting where they're like, oh yes, we like this, tell us more. Even if they don't say tell us more, but the body language says tell us more, like you got them, that's when you can blow our ass out the water. And be just as sweet, don't be nasty, don't be shady, just blow her the fuck up. And smile.
My thing, just get your ideas out there in front before she can claim them as hers. And you got to keep your cool. Again, the companies are not going to
They
tolerate.
don't do drama.
They're not going to. They will not. I mean, I don't. I mean, assuming your company will be the same way. So you got to find a way to keep your cool and get in front. I mean, you're smarter than this woman, so you got to outsmart her and, take it from there.
Yeah, and I mean, just because she's the first one to claim the ideas does not mean she gets to keep them. Because they're your ideas. And she probably didn't contribute much to the presentation either, other than her trying to pipe up all of a sudden, like, yes, we thought it would add so much value to the company.
Well, when she saw that they liked the other woman, Ms. Wanda's idea, then she.
Yeah, and I was just like, Wanda, you can't let that defeat you. She barely gave an effort. she got to work a lot harder than that to take you down. In my opinion. Make her earn it. And I would actually, and I would look at her, if you really want to fuck with her and you know she don't have it, I would turn to her and be like, and you know, we'll call the white woman Cindy. Be like, and Cindy, what was your inspiration for the idea, for this concept? I'm trying to recall. Just, if you know she don't have it, like, if she could think fast on her feet, that's dangerous. So you gotta know. But I'm sure you've studied her anyway, because you already see her as an obstacle. And, you know, if she is the pretty white woman that feels like she's entitled to the finest in the world, and you are a black woman that's just not held in as high regard, then
yeah,
you already done your homework. You know how to take her out. So go and tap that ass. Intellectually, that is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if it comes to it, I can't say what's going to go down in the parking lot. I couldn't call it. Could you call it, Dark Boy? I couldn't.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't say what might go down in the parking lot. A girl might get out of pocket and get cut. That's all I'm saying. But we don't advocate violence here on the Sexual Healing Podcast. We are all about affirmation and healing most of the time. Unless, you know, folks are given toe jobs and things. But okay. Yeah. So, did you have any final thoughts for dear Wanda?
Nope, I have said what I think Miss Wanda should do.
Okay. All righty.
Wanda, just let us know how that works out.
Yeah. Follow up, Wanda, because we know you got some good story to tell. So go and follow up with us on that. All right.
All right. So that takes us to help a brother out.
Yes. How much help does a brother need?
This one needs some help. Okay. Yes.
Because I'm going out tonight.
I know. This is from Carlton.
Oh, Carlton.
And Carlton is my husband. Okay. So they're married.
Oh.
My husband of 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been in a purely monogamous relationship.
Okay.
Recently, I downloaded Scruff. Oop. I created a profile.
The door is open.
I chat. Yep, I chatted and exchanged pics with guys, but I've never hooked up with anyone. Mm-hmm. My profile says I'm married, and specifically says I'm looking for friends. Last week, my husband went snooping on my phone and read some of my conversations. Now he's pissed and says that being on any of those apps is cheating. I say it's just fantasy. Who's right and who is wrong?
Oh, my.
Well,
okay.
I will say, in my mind, I think to me, it's fantasy. I don't think it's cheap. Mm-hmm. I mean, it certainly could lead to it if you don't keep it in check, because I think it's just too easy on those apps to find people to, you know, do stuff with. Mm-hmm. Now, I did at one point want to download some of those apps just to, out of curiosity, mm-hmm. just to see, because, you know, I'm married, so I don't use them. Mm-hmm. So I just want to do it out of curiosity, just to see what they're like, or, you know, how easy it really is. But I don't know, for me, I just kind of compare it to looking at Tumblr or looking at porn or whatever. I mean, if you're just looking, you're not actively really trying to do anything or meet these people or do stuff, I don't think of it as cheating. Hmm. What about you?
While stereotypically the word is out there that men really aren't as concerned about the emotional side of things, it's all about the physical for them. It's quite to the contrary. Men are very sensitive about emotional infidelity. You'd almost do better. Well, it's not better. That there's no good way to go about this, but it would almost be seen as a touch more forgivable if you somehow slipped and ended up having sex with someone, as opposed to engaging in a relatively deliberate, possibly long-termish extra dyadic emotional attachment with someone else, because that suggests premeditation. That suggests that you've kind of thought this through and didn't find anything wrong with it, that it's just not that serious to you. And you might be totally in a place where you understand how this looks and feels to you, but your husband does not see it the same way. I can tell you that. It's not to say that going out and having sex with somebody is any better. It isn't, but I think the fallout is qualitatively different in a lot of cases.
But is it cheating?
Yeah, it is. Men are very...
I don't think so, Ben.
It depends on how you define cheating. Is it... It's certainly not cheating in the sense of, oh, you went out and had sex with someone else. No. But one of the last things that develops in relationships between men tends to be the emotional intimacy. The whole idea of letting all the guards down and letting someone in, and because you guys were in a monogamous relationship, you've been one another's one and only all this time. And now, all of a sudden, you're out exchanging pictures with other people. He missed the whole thing on your ad where you said you're just looking for friends. He missed the whole point where you said, I'm married. All he knows is you are out setting up dates with other people, talking to other folks, and we all know what talking leads to. That's what's on his mind. And even if you're not doing that, depending on the nature of the conversations, because it's what's going to happen is he's going to say to you, well, if you're not fucking him, then what are you guys doing? We're talking about what? And at that point, you might feel like being honest about what you're talking about is going to make it better, but you're going to say something that's going to trigger him, and he's going to realize that the space that he thought was reserved for him and for the two of you, has you've now welcomed someone else into it. It's just, okay. It's very, it's tricky because the research that was out there years ago, and it's still out there, when you look at like divorced couples, heterosexual divorcing couples, typically wives, they get the friends in the divorce. Because more often than not, the friends are the wives' friends. Men have their one or two buddies and that's it. And you may, in marrying, you might, your relationship with those buddies might have been compromised, so they're not a part of your support system like they once were. There are countless tales out there of men that have been devastated by divorce, and I think the biggest thing they report having a problem with is the realization that their wife is now talking to someone else about private stuff that went on between them. There's just it's a deeper level of betrayal for some men. I won't say all. There are no absolutes, but and it's fascinating because we don't think of men as being all that emotionally involved in that way. But typically, if a guy's married, that's about as intimate as his relationships are going to be. Whether he cries in front of his wife, whether he tells her what's really on his mind, it's a certain type of bond. Even just the idea of allowing his wife to know who he is, like, just, she knows the deep dark secrets. That's very intimate. So I think looking at a relationship between two men, I do think there is that come to Jesus point in a relationship where you're like, I need to know who you are. Like, who are you? Like, who am I lying next to? Who am I thinking about committing my life to? Who are you? And the answer to that question is very delicate. So I do feel like when that question is answered, there is an expectation of not only physical monogamy, but also emotional monogamy. And it's like, if this was really just your friend, why don't I know about him?
Yeah, the secrecy part I could see is part of an issue. Mm-hmm. Is an issue. Again, this isn't something I wouldn't do. I would not do it.
I don't know.
But yeah, I could see once you talk about, yeah, it's kind of emotionally, yeah, because if it's a secret and you're, you know, it's cheating. I don't know. It still doesn't seem like cheating is the right word, but I mean, I could tell that, you know, your husband would, I think he probably has a right to be uncomfortable or upset about it.
Yeah, and it's really more the idea that you've kept things from him that are clearly important on some level to you. They mean something to you because you've returned to the apps. You've actually
He wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't important, I guess.
Yeah, it's like you've invested a certain amount of time in the apps and in cultivating these relationships. So you can't then turn around and say they mean nothing to you, because it's like, that's a lie. I mean, whenever men have cheated on women and said, baby, you know, she means nothing to me, it's like, really? How many times did you fuck her again? Because if she meant nothing, maybe once, but you've been rolling around with this chick for 6 months, for a year, you've slept with her more than once, she had to mean something. Because if you needed to be a little different, I could have did something. Why you gotta contract her? I could have did it. What you need? You need some tricks? You need to be flipped upside down? What you need me to do? Give me the first shot. And it's maybe I'm just a little too obtuse at this point, but yeah. You're just in a relationship. Time is really important. It's something I've learned in my relationships over the years. Time and that space that you're able to create for just the two of you, it's really important. And when you bring someone else into that space without an agreement in place, bad. Even if there is an agreement in place, bad. But it could be hell if there isn't one in place. But that's all I got.
Yeah, me too. I think Carlton.
Carlton.
Let us know how this goes.
Yeah, you need to come clean with yourself about what exactly is going on with you and these other guys. Because if it is friendship, then you need...
Include your husband.
Yeah, well, include the husband in the sense of he needs to meet these folks. But he's always going to be somewhat distrusting because they may be great guys, but you introduce them in a really unfortunate way.
Well, Carlson didn't say he actually met anybody. He just says they've chatted and exchanged pictures.
Okay.
So I don't know if he's even met these guys, but...
Well, unless he has some chat transcripts, he's basically going to have to... He has to dig out of a hole with his husband at this point. Because Carlton might be totally above board. These might really be platonic, just guys that share interests that he has. Maybe the husband is like, I don't need to meet any new people. I got you, and I got this person and that person. I'm good. You need more social outlets. But no matter how true that may be, you needed to be upfront with your husband about that. It's just there's a certain amount of betrayal that goes into you taking and installing apps on your phone, which most people are using to fuck. You're using them for friends. And that may be, in fact, what you are using them for. That is your intention. But I'm fairly certain that there are some guys out there that will play the long con, and they will be your friend with the intention of getting in your draws. Because you are talking to them about stuff that's giving them access to your relationship that they would not normally have, that they can use to drive a wedge between you and your husband or play on vulnerabilities. I don't know. It might be too dire and too drastic on my part with my thinking. So I will own that.
All right. Well, okay. I think that's it, Mr. Carlton.
Yeah.
At least for our advice anyway.
Yeah, it's another long episode, y'all. We were trying to we were trying to keep it to hour and 15, but we have failed miserably.
Yes. All right.
But hey.
Well, if you want to send us a letter for advice, our opinions,
yes,
go ahead and send us a letter. This is for the Ask Yubrista also. Send a letter to sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. we just may read your letter over the air.
That's it. And as you can tell, I have a gift for gab, and I also type fast, so I am totally open to being in communication with some, you know, within reason, online. So we're on social media. You can find us on Facebook, on Sexual Healing Podcasts, from top to bottom. You can also find us on Instagram under Sexual Healing Pod, and on Twitter under Pod Sexual. Still don't know how that happened, but that's what it is.
At least we're on there.
Yes, we're on there. We haven't been kicked off.
Yeah.
Them hoes at Pinterest. I'm still salty. If y'all listening, I'm still salty, Pinterest.
They ain't bothered with us right now.
Don't let me catch you in the street. But all right. So definitely reach out. Letters. You can find our podcast on SoundCloud. You can find us on Google Play. You can find
iTunes,
us,
of course.
Yes, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Stitcher is pending. Maybe by the time this is out, we'll be on there as well as Spotify. So we'll let you know. Keep an eye out for the memes. I'm trying to get my meme gain up.
Give us those 5-star reviews, 4 and 5 stars.
Yes. What is it? Oh gosh, what did Trilificent call it? Don't be a 1-star, like a hate a hoe or something like that. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, the 1-star woes. We don't want 1-star woes. None of that. We appreciate 4 and 5 stars. I mean, if we are worthy of a 1-star, then damn it, don't just give us 1-star and leave no comments. We need comments because we try to get better at this. We are amateurs. So we need some feedback if you that disenchanted with us. Damn. But all right. I'll take it as it comes.
Yeah.
But okay, but on behalf of the crew, or the Sexual Healing Podcast crew, I wish y'all a wonderful week. Hope that you got through hump day all right. And that Friday, or whatever your Friday may be, is that much closer and will be that much lovelier.
Yes.
All right, be well, y'all.
All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. Love yourself hard. Bye-bye.
Bye.